Good to see you this morning. We're going to be going through our study in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, if you would turn there this morning. Mark chapter 2. And I'm going to divide this chapter up into two parts, part 1 this morning and part 2 tonight. And we'll be considering verses 1 through 14 this morning. So I'll start reading at verse 1, chapter 2. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. We see in the first 12 verses here, the Lord has an encounter with a paralyzed man, a paralytic, in verses 1 through 12. Then in verses 13 through 14, we see the call of Matthew to be one of his disciples. And that we'll talk about those two verses at the very end. But we see that Jesus in verse 1 went back to Capernaum. He had been there in chapter 1. He had left Capernaum to go preaching the word into Galilee. And he came back to Capernaum in verse 1. The people in verse 1 heard that the Lord Jesus was there. It was noised that he was in the house, that he had gone to a house in the city of Capernaum, and the people flocked to the Lord. And some of the people went out of curiosity. You know, there's always curiosity seekers when the Lord was around to see maybe he'll perform some great miracle. And some had a real need. Some had a real need for healing, for casting out demons. And the Lord Jesus would meet those needs. And it says in verse 2 that many were gathered together in the house. And there were so many people, they couldn't fit all the people in the house. And there were people in the overflow outside the house. And it says, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. We see that the Lord Jesus had dozens, maybe even hundreds of people gathered in and around this house. And people were just crammed in the house like sardines in a can. And it says there in verse 2 that the Lord preached the word to them. The Amplified Bible says he discussed the word with them, which I thought was interesting. It's interesting when the Lord Jesus taught, oftentimes it was a dialogue between him and a person or a group of people. And when he taught, he would ask questions. That was part of his method of teaching and instructing. But we see here in verse 2 that he preached the word to the people who were in the house. That is, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That's the message that the Lord Jesus Christ always brought to people who needed it. But we see in verse 3 that there was a need from a man in verse 3. It says that he was sick of the palsy, which means he was paralyzed. And he was on his bed, and there were four men who would carry him around on his bed to wherever he needed to be. Now, we're not told much about this paralyzed man, how long he had been paralyzed, whether his paralysis came from birth or maybe some disease or sickness or maybe some accident. We're not sure about that. But we see there that he is paralyzed. And I was thinking, well, is he paralyzed from the neck down or from the waist down? It appears to be that he is paralyzed from the neck down because he couldn't move his arms and legs. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get around. He had to lay on a bed. He had to count on other people to take care of him, to meet all his needs, to carry him around where he needed to go. And we see these four men carrying this man, carrying him to Jesus. And we see in verse 4 that they couldn't get into the house in verse 4. They couldn't in the house because the people were blocking the entrance of all that to the house. And there were so many people inside the house, they just couldn't get to the Lord. So the men did something interesting in verse 4. They went on top of the roof. And I don't know if you about your house. I'd rather people come in the front door than come through the roof. The only things on my roof are squirrels. That's about it. But we see in verse 4 that the men took this man to the top of the roof, removed some of the tiles, and let the man down through the roof. And it's interesting to note here in verse 4 that these men were going to extreme measures, almost desperate measures, to get this man to the Lord Jesus. I could hear that man, the paralyzed man now. Somebody, please take me to Jesus. Take me to Jesus. And these four men did that. One Bible commentator had nicknames to these four men, called them sympathy, cooperation, originality, and persistence. Interesting nicknames, aren't they? Sympathy, because the men had compassion on this paralytic. They wanted to take him to Jesus, you see. Cooperation, because the men had to work together to get this paralytic down to the Lord Jesus. They couldn't just be pulled in four different directions. They had to cooperate with one another. Originality. They couldn't get in the front door, so they had to use another method of getting this man to Jesus. So they used the roof to get him to the Lord. Persistence. They worked until the job was done. That takes persistence. So we see these four men were bringing this man to the Lord Jesus in verse 5. And the Lord, of course, knew what was going on. He looked up and saw the roof being moved around, the tiles on the roof being moved around. And they saw the man who was hopefully strapped into his bed being moved down through the hole in the roof right in front of him. And in verse 5 it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. First of all, when the Lord Jesus saw the faith of these men, we can understand that these men believed in their heart, and especially the paralyzed man, they believed in their hearts that Jesus could heal this man from his paralysis. They really believed that. They believed it in their hearts. And the Lord Jesus says in verse 5, your sins be forgiven thee. Well, you know, Jesus not only heals his body, heals this man's body, but he heals his soul by forgiving his sins. Jesus will not heal the body and leave the eternal soul out of the picture. And neither should we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can give things to help the people in their bodies when they need it. But at the same time, we must be concerned about their souls and what's going to happen to that. The Lord Jesus was concerned about this man's soul. He saw the faith of this paralytic. And he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Isn't that a wonderful sound? Aren't those wonderful words to know that your sins are forgiven by the Lord? But in verses 6 and 7, we see so there were some other people there who were called scribes. Now, the scribes were the teachers of the Old Testament law. They would teach and instruct the Jewish people on the finer points of the Old Testament. That was their job. And they kind of threw a wet blanket on what was going on here in this house. It says in verse 6 that they were reasoning in their hearts. Another way of putting that is that they were holding a dialogue with themselves as they questioned in their hearts. And you've held dialogues with yourself in your hearts before. Where am I going to eat lunch today? Well, you know, I might go to Bojangles. No, wait a minute. You know, Wendy's might be a great place to go. No, I tell you what, I'll go to Bob Adcock's house. You know, he can give me something to eat, and it'd be free. I wouldn't even have to pay for it. Just kidding there, Brother Bob. But these men were reasoning in their hearts, and they were saying, this man Jesus forgives sins. Only God could forgive sins. This man couldn't be God. Therefore, he must be a blasphemer against God. That was their reasoning in their hearts of these scribes in verse 6. In verse 7, they said, what doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Well, that part is true, isn't it? There's only one person who can forgive our sins, and that's God. But we have to understand something. As we read the scriptures, we find out that Jesus Christ was God revealed and manifested in the flesh. That when Jesus came to this world, he was not just a little baby or human being. He was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God, but he was also God the Son. And so we see in verse 8, immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Jesus perceived in his spirit. The Lord knew exactly what these scribes were thinking. He knew their motivation. He knew the internal debate in their hearts about what was going on. But the bottom line is for these scribes, they had absolutely no faith, no faith at all in the Lord Jesus as having the power to forgive sins. The Lord knew all about this. And the Lord knew, he knows our hearts. He knows our emotions. He knows our motivations. Motivations being the reasons we do the things we do. See, the Lord knows all about those things. And the Lord Jesus knew what was in the scribes' hearts. He knew that they didn't believe in him. He knew that the paralytic man believed in him. He knew that these four men carrying that paralyzed man believed in him. He knew that. But he also knew that the scribes were filled, their hearts were filled with unbelief. And he says in verse 8, at the end of verse 8, Jesus said, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. In other words, is it easier to pronounce a man's sins forgiven or his paralysis cured? Well, the Lord Jesus did both, didn't he? he forgave this man's sins, and in just another verse or two, we're going to see that he raised him up, that he healed him. But in verse 10, the Lord Jesus made an astounding, amazing, incredible statement. In verse 10. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. The Son of Man, of course, is the Lord Jesus. He referred to him to himself that way a number of times and on a number of occasions. But what that verse is saying is that Jesus Christ has the power and authority to forgive sins. You and I are the sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's a lot of people out there who say, well, you know, I really don't believe that Jesus has the power and authority to forgive sins. Some believe that God has delegated that power to forgive sins to other people. I would challenge anybody to prove to me from the Scriptures where God has delegated the authority to forgive sins to other people. If you believe that, you come and talk to me. I want to talk to you about that. There's only one person who has the power and authority in this world to forgive sins, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, some people may say, well, you know, there's a particular group that that I belong to, an organization or a religious association, and they're telling me that they have the power to forgive sins, and you know, so what about them? The Son of Man, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. My dear friends, there's only one person who could forgive your sins. There is only one person who could give you eternal life, a home in heaven. My question to you this morning is, has Jesus forgiven your sins? Think about that. Consider that. Because that is a serious question, a sobering question. Has the Lord Jesus forgiven your sins? Do you know for a fact, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you have eternal life in heaven someday? Can you tell me that? Can you look me in the eye and tell me, I'm going to heaven when I die to be with Jesus? And if you can't say that, this morning you can make that decision to believe in the Lord Jesus, just like this paralytic man, paralyzed man did. And have your sins forgiven, and you can be a recipient of that wonderful free gift of God, eternal life in heaven with the Lord Jesus someday. Don't deceive yourself. Don't fool yourself into believing that there's some other person who can forgive your sins, that a man who has a white collar around his neck has the power and authority to forgive your sins, because if you believe that, you are deceived. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. No Hindu, no Buddhist, no Muslim, no any other religion has the power to forgive sins. There's only one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I urge you to think about that question. Has Jesus forgiven your sins? Has he? If that decision hasn't been made by you, make that decision today. Make it today. But in verse 10 or verse 11, the Lord Jesus was talking to the paralyzed man in verse 11. He said, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. In order to demonstrate that the man's sins have been forgiven, Jesus said, arise and take up thy bed. And the result of that command is found in verse 12. says in verse 12, and immediately, not next week or next month or next year or the next day, it says immediately in verse 12, he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion, or in other words, we have never seen anything like this before. The paralysis left this man's body. He got up on his own. He picked up that mat that he was laying on. And he walked on his own. And he was immediately healed. He didn't have to go to rehab. He didn't have to go to physical therapy. He didn't have to go see his doctor to get some medication. He was totally and completely and immediately healed on the spot by the Lord Jesus Christ. Right there in front of dozens, maybe even hundreds of people who saw that miracle. We have never seen anything like this before. So we see that the Lord performed this miracle. And you know, it doesn't say in the text here, but I was wondering about this. When the people saw this, the Lord Jesus heal this man, raise this man up from the paralysis, when they heard him say that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I wonder how many of those people believed in the Lord Jesus at that point. There had to be some. The paralyzed man certainly did. His four friends who carried him on the pallet there, on the bed, certainly believed in the Lord Jesus. But I wonder if there were anybody there who believed in the Lord Jesus. I wonder this morning, are there going to be anybody here? Is anyone here this morning who hasn't made that decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? To ask Him, Lord, please forgive my sins. I believe in You, Lord. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. That's all you've got to do. God will hear your heart. He knows your heart. He'll hear every word you'll say. And you know, people are reluctant to come to the Lord, and for various reasons. But you have to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting right now, with open arms to receive you, to forgive your sins, and to give you eternal life. He's waiting right now. And I hope you make that decision. I hope you make it. But in verse 13, we see that the Lord Jesus, after he left this house, he went to the seashore. And hundreds, maybe even thousands of people flocked to him in verse 13. And he taught them. He was preaching and teaching to the crowds. And then we see in verse 14 that he was passing by and he saw Matthew Levi. And it says here, the Levi, the son of Alphaeus. That was Matthew, of course. That's the same one who wrote the Gospel of Matthew. He called Matthew to follow him and be his disciple in verse 14. He said, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Matthew didn't hesitate, did he? He didn't say, well, Lord, let me pray about this. Let me talk to some people about it. Let me think about it a little bit and I'll get back to you on whether I'm going to be a disciple. You know, Matthew decided right on the spot that he was going to follow Jesus. You see. And another thing that we learn about Matthew in this verse is that Matthew was a tax collector. Called publicans in the King James Version. He was a tax collector for the despised Roman Empire. Most of the Jewish people considered tax collectors in the same category as harlots and prostitutes. That's how much they hated and despised tax collectors. And no wonder the tax collectors, as we read in the scriptures, They were nothing but robbers and thieves and liars who were getting rich at other people's expense. That's what they did, most of them, many of them. We don't know if Matthew was in that category, but it doesn't matter because God can forgive any sin that we've ever committed. But it's interesting that the Savior calls outcasts, harlots, lepers, demon-possessed, the weak, the infirmed, to be His followers. The grace of God extends to every person in this world, regardless of race, nationality, economic status, or your own past. All of us are equally guilty before the Lord, but all of us can be saved, could be saved. That reminds me of that verse that Peter wrote, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, it's not God's will. It's not what God wants is for people to die and end up in hell. God does not want that. He wants everybody to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Everybody. That's what God wants. He wants everybody to believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved and have their sins forgiven. And when they die, they're going to heaven. God wants every single person in the world to do that, to believe that. Of course, you know, and God knows, that's not going to happen, is it? Not going to happen. It's my will and your will that people believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved and have their sins forgiven. But we know, you know, realistically, that's not going to happen. But in this particular case of the paralyzed man, and in the particular case of Matthew, the hated and despised tax collector, Jesus forgave their sins. Right now, this formerly paralyzed man and Matthew, right now at this very second, are in heaven, looking and beholding the Lord Jesus. They're in heaven right now. Most of us in this room this morning know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Most of us in this room know that if we were all of us die today, that we would go to heaven to be with the Lord. But my dear friend, you've got to make sure that Jesus has forgiven your sins. You've got to make sure. The only way you can make sure is come to Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe You died on that cross for my sins. Please, Lord, forgive my sins. My dear friend, if you do that, God will forgive your sins. He will give you eternal life in heaven, and you will be a new person from the inside out. So that you may know, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Come to the Lord Jesus today, my friends. And believe in Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You so much for the Word of God. We thank You that we can not only learn certain things about our Savior, the Lord Jesus, but we can learn, Lord, that He can forgive our sins. And we pray, Father, this morning, that if anybody here who hasn't made that decision, who hasn't come to the Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, that they will make that decision today. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God will so reveal the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to them that they will be compelled to bow the knee, Father, before You and believe and trust in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for this in the name of our blessed Savior, giving thanksgiving to God. Amen. Thank you.